All right, praise the Lord. We are going to go into the Word of God here, but I'd like to sing a chorus as usual. And of course, nothing around here is ever as usual because it's always different. I never know what's going to happen next, and we'll see what the Lord will do. But I would like to sing, I think this morning I want to sing Keep On Walking by Faith because it seems so appropriate in these last days. I don't know how else we're ever going to make it without faith. We need to really have faith in God because that's something that is absent from most churches today. Religion today is totally infested by Antichrist spirits and it's completely taken over. It's become a part of the world, very cleverly manufactured by the devil, and faith is forgotten. God is forgotten. Man has made his own way and even gone to the extent that man has made his own God in his own image. Everybody has what they think is their image of God. And really, if they'd read the Bible, they'd find out how far off they are. But we're going to sing that chorus, Keep On Walking by Faith, and let's just worship as we sing it. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Let's give the Lord a hand praise today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. It's getting exciting, and I've been telling people it won't be long now, and our Lord will appear. In fact, I believe one doctrine we need to be firmly grounded in is that of the imminency of His return. There are people who will tell you now, first this has to happen, then that has to happen. All kinds of things are happening. And until He gets here, things will continue to happen. As evil men and seducers wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And as we progress down that prophetic timeline, yes, things are happening. But don't ever let yourself begin to think, my Lord delayeth His coming. That it can't be yet because, you need to get rid of all those becauses. Because it's simple to understand if you just take what the Bible says. He could come any time. Amen. Amen. We don't have it all figured out. I don't have it all figured out. In fact, I have never felt more helpless in my life than I do right now at this very moment in trying to present this message because I know full well that I am not capable of doing it. I have to trust the Lord to help me, and I hope that you will seek Him for me also. If I were to look at this as a human being, it would be the most complicated thing I've ever seen. But I believe the Lord can sort it all out for us. The main thing is that we understand where we are in time. That we understand who we are in Jesus Christ. That it's not us, neither is it to our glory if any good comes from us. But it is the work of Almighty God Himself through His people. You know, I sometimes think about the wondrous tabernacle plan and how God set up the tabernacle for His people Israel and later on the temple. And one thing came to mind recently, and that is that I've been reading the Bible through again because I am constantly doing that. And I was just looking at things and thinking about things. And you know, the light of God is His Spirit. We as ourselves are not the light of anything. But it's God shining through us. You see, back in the tabernacle, they had 7 golden candlesticks. And all those candlesticks were the supporters of that flame of God. They lifted up the flame of God. They lifted up the fire of God. And the church, the Bible tells us, are the 7 golden candlesticks that Jesus walks among. But there's something else that jumped out at me there. Those candlesticks were made of beaten work. that the brass was not just assembled and polished, it was beaten and beaten and pounded and beaten. And that's exactly how it is with the true church of God. We're not here as people to be entertained with ventriloquists and magicians and funny little things and all kinds of guitars and drums banging away and having our little boogie-woogie jamboree here, whatever you want to call it. We are here to worship God, to get into the battle. We know we will be criticized. We know we will be slandered. We know we are targets. We are lightning rods for affliction. And yet we are the beaten work of God, lifting up and supporting the holy flame of God, the light of the world, just as the candlesticks were in the Bible. And that is exactly how it's got to be. Now, that taken care of, I think we can start our message. In Revelation chapter 13, I would like one more time here to just ask the Lord to help us. You can never pray too much. Dear Father in heaven, oh, how we need Thee today. We need Thy touch, O Lord. We need Thine anointing, O God, that we might hear. And I pray, O Lord, that Thy word would come forth to the glory of Thy name, that Thou would strengthen us, O Lord, and help us, because we are totally helpless without Thee. And we know the time is at hand. Thy coming, O Lord, is very near. And it could even be before this service ends. But Lord, I know that Thou wilt be with us in all things, and that Thy perfect will be done. We glorify Thee, Lord Jesus. We magnify Thy holy name, for there is no God but Thee, and there is none like unto Thee. Now help us, Lord, to receive Thy word with the gladness and yet with the responsibility that it comes forth with, and that we might be obedient to it. We ask it in Jesus' name through the power of the blood. And let Satan be completely disabled in Thy presence, O Lord. Let Satan be driven out. Let him have no power to hinder us in any way. For Thou hast defeated him at Calvary, and the power of the blood prevails. And we thank Thee for it now. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. We are in Revelation chapter 13, and we started this last week and just ran out of time. That happens frequently here. You know, I could go on and on and on for hours, but there's just so much to bring forth in these last days. I don't even know if I'm really getting it all across. The way I feel on the inside, it's like the prophet said, it's like a fire shut up in my bones. I'm spending 7 days a week constantly studying and praying and watching, as the Lord said to do. And the more that I watch, the more that I see, it puts a responsibility on the inside of me saying, somehow you've got to get this message out that time is almost gone. It's about up. If we're ever going to learn how to pray, we've got to learn how to pray now. If we ever need to get into the depth of prayer, to really dig down deep, we've got to do it now. Whatever plans we have for later just have to be pushed out of the way. There's one priority and one only, and that's get close to God and establish that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and walk closely with Him. The world will try to distract you in every way. They'll try to put fear on you. By the way, did you ever notice that's what they do in these newspapers and news reports? It's, if you didn't know the Lord, what would you do? What if you knew all about all this but didn't know God? You'd be running after tranquilizers. And millions upon millions of people do. They know there's something wrong. They know the world is crumbling. I guess there's a couple more banks now that have failed. Do you remember in a newsletter a couple of months ago, I had mentioned the secret meeting that they had in an illegal secret meeting that they had in the Congress? And rumors came forth that some word leaked out that by September our economy would fail. And now all of a sudden banks are folding and the International Monetary Fund says stay away from the dollar. You're in for a terrible rough ride. Depression number two is coming up. Bank of International Settlements, they're all in agreement. The American dollar has had it. People want to live in denial and say, well, this too will pass. It'll get better again. The Bible doesn't say things will get better again. They'll get continually worse. And besides that, other conditions have arisen that will ensure the fact that it will not get better again.
Boy, gloom and doom, Oh, Meyer is up here. He's going to let us have it now. He's going to take any joy we had away, and we're going to walk out of there like we've been baptized in vinegar. No, because we know the Lord preserves His people. We are not like those of other men who have no hope, as the Word of God says. We have a God of miracles. We live in a time when miracles are needed. Our very sustenance depends upon it. And when we throw out all secondary plans, all alternatives, and say there is no help but that of God, then the power will come down. Then the miracles will take place, because God doesn't know any competition. No matter where it is, if it's just in your own mind, it needs to go. You know, except the Lord house, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. God is the builder of the house. Certainly not the Freemasons. Anyway. Well, they claim to be builders, you know. They call themselves builders. They write little booklets, "Are you a builder?" And everything's about this supreme architect of the universe and this temple is in the astral sphere up there somewhere that you have to get up to if you have your little white apron on when they plant you in the ground. All that kind of silly stuff. Oh, I'll tell you what, there is such confusion out there. By the way, Barack Obama is a Mason in the Prince Hall Lodge, without question. But we'll get into some of this later. See, I like to tie these things together. I've been accused of being too political. But really, I'm not political. My politics is very short and sweet. It's all rotten. Huh? How can I be political when I say all politics is rotten? It's the dirtiest, filthiest, rottenest business in the entire world. It's full of bribery and deceit and homosexuals and payoffs and every kind of crazy thing you can think of, and some you can't. And here I go again, being a radical. Well, praise the Lord. Let's see how radical we can get. Now, in Revelation chapter 13, we read about a beast that rose up out of the sea. Remember? Seven heads and ten horns. I'm not going to go all the way back there. We'll be doing the same thing over again and not get any further. But just to recap it a little bit, this beast that rises out of the sea. Remember back in Daniel 7, those four winds strove upon the sea, and the sea was in turmoil. You can imagine winds from four different directions hitting it at the same time, and that sea was choppy and wild, and out of that wild Mediterranean Sea, the reason it tells us that the Great Sea is the Mediterranean Sea is to locate the area of the world where these empires first came forth. See, God knows we can't figure anything out, and so He gives us just enough information for us to seek Him more. See what I'm saying? Sometimes you say, why didn't God just tell us every little minute detail and everything? Because then you wouldn't seek Him. And if you don't seek Him, you can't be blessed of Him. And so He gives us enough to draw us closer to Him, to reach out. And it seems like every time we find an answer, it leads to another question. That's called spiritual growth. It's not all laid out for us. We have to dig down deep, and we'll find it. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Everyone that asketh receiveth. Jesus said we are to seek Him. And He'll be there for us every time. Now these beasts that came out of the sea, these four beasts, were diverse from each other. And we went through that last time. One was like a lion, one was like a bear, one like a leopard, and one you couldn't even describe. There's one that had great iron teeth. And it was so ferocious that after it tore everything apart, it stamped on the residue. Just like they're stepping on all of us right now. You know something, when Bill Clinton was president, he had that young advisor, that Greek man, George Step on all of us. Huh? Remember him? Anyway, see, these names sometimes fit, don't they? I know it's Stephanopoulos. But stepping all of us is more appropriate, isn't it? Because they are the elite. You see, the beast has an anointing. There are those that he chooses and that he anoints. And we have got a devil-anointed character running around right now by the name of Barack Hussein Obama, who's bringing about a revival of Islam and going through the whole world and tying all the loose ends together. And he's constantly preaching, one world! He even puts his arm up sometimes. It's like a little black Hitler. Now somebody say, oh, racist, racist. No, he just happens to be black. If he was turquoise or pink or whatever, I'd say that. But it's his message that I'm saying it is doing a job here. And you know, they've got people, leaders from all over the world welcoming him. One man flew all the way, he was one of the Arab leaders, flew all the way back from Colorado just to meet him over there in the Middle East. And they love him. The Germans loved him. 200,000 people came out to love him. And it looked like a Hitlerian rally to me. I listened to his whole speech. In fact, I watched it on the computer. And you know, he was out there speaking, and at one point he was trying to go back to his roots and how his father was a man who herded goats. And I thought, ah, okay. Not sheep, but goats, right? Every place that he goes, he's a typical politician in a way, promises them everything, gives them nothing, and takes everything they've got. Running on no specifics whatsoever other than, well, by the way, where was McCain? Not to be topped, he went to a German restaurant in Ohio. Well, after all, Obama's in Germany, see? So he goes to a German restaurant, see? It's pretty obvious McCain is in trouble. But see, it's a matter of they keep their options open. They will manipulate. Something could happen to Obama. Nobody knows. They keep their options open. But one thing I know for sure, and that is that the Antichrist has a script. He has this thing choreographed the way he wants it. But I also know that God is in charge. And they have been interrupted before. Now, we know that these four beasts rose up out of the sea, and each one represented a world government or empire. God looks at a government, God looks at politics, and sees a beast. God looks at Jim Doyle down there, all of his other little doilies that support him in Madison, and sees a beast. God looks at George Bush, and boy, does he ever see a beast. I'm telling you, I can't look at that man's picture without just about losing my lunch. I get physically nauseous when I look at him. He is so infested with demon spirits, I couldn't begin to describe it, and yet the fundamentalist Christians are still saying, what a wonderful man! And by the way, that with Barack Obama, when they presented that idol to him, that gold idol of the monkey god of India, the priest gave it to him, he thanked him for it, he accepted it, and that Hindu priest said that he knows for a fact that Obama does worship and honor that particular god, which is why they gave it to him. He'll worship anything but the true God. And that's the way the devil is. He doesn't care what idol you worship as long as it's an idol. He doesn't care what you believe as long as it's not the truth. And he doesn't care how much truth is in it as long as it's polluted with error and corrupted by deception. He'll give you any way to keep you off the one way. And he's got a whole myriad of religions and philosophies and theologies and all kinds of different things so that you can take your pick. He's going to get you one way or another. That's the way he operates. That is why we need the Holy Ghost. You can build a big church building. You can build a structure. You can have songbooks, church bulletins, fellowship, watermelon socials, whatever you're going to have. Smile at each other, shake each other's hands. You don't have God. You've got to get on your knees and cry out to God. You've got to reach out to Him. You have to feel and see the desperation of the hour, and He will respond. Draw nigh unto God, and God will draw nigh unto you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It's pretty easy to go along with the flow, isn't it? But that's a river of corruption. Now, in this chapter, as we look at these four beasts, we know that when Babylon, as a world empire, fell, it fell to the Medo-Persians. Notice, they didn't eliminate it. They didn't obliterate it. They assimilated it. All the gods and goddesses, the structure, everything about Babylon was absorbed into Medo-Persia like a big amoeba absorbs its nutrients through its endoplasmic reticulum and all the other little layers and so forth that, if you remember your biology, how those amoebas work, and pulls all of that in. So we know Medo-Persia took Babylon in to itself and they assimilated. It was the same devils, same evil spirits, same gods and goddesses. They changed the names to protect the guilty, but they just pulled it all together. Then, when the Greek Empire came and went into Medo-Persia and defeated them, they assimilated Medo-Persia and the previously assimilated Babylon, all pulling them into the Grecian philosophies and the gods and goddesses of Greece. They renamed everything because they spoke Greek. But it's the same system. Then when Rome came along, Rome pulled all the prior empires, the religions of it, the philosophies of it, everything about it, into the new realm of the Roman Empire. Vini, vidi, vici, I came, I saw, I conquered. Remember? And of course, all of it came together in one new, one world empire. The Roman Empire, stretching all the way from Spain and all the way over into the far reaches of Europe and beyond. And there it was, a great beast that had risen up. Now, when that great beast empire, comprising all the prior empires, when that fell, it fell in three stages over a period of 1,400 years. Rome was destroyed, but not the religion of it. We know that Satan had to have a plan. The Lord had come. When Jesus, by the way, notice there was always a one world government before Jesus came. Since he came, there's never been one. They've never been able to get it. Remember the little nursery rhyme? Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Who's Humpty Dumpty? That egg on the pedestal, right? Up on that wall, that Babylonian egg with a serpent around it, with a little crescent moon on the top. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, right? All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put them together again. How do you unbreak an egg, right? That was written about the Roman Empire. How are you going to put it back together? Well, Satan had a plan. In the first place, with Christianity coming forth, and every place the Apostle Paul went, and subsequent apostles, and all these men of God, God was filling people with the Holy Ghost. There was a church alive and on fire, and they don't want you to know about it. But God's power was manifested. Amazing things were happening. Persecutions broke out, yes. But when the Roman Empire fell, Satan had to find a way to always conceal and never reveal. To borrow a term from the Masons, how am I going to take my plan, my gods and goddesses, my religion, my philosophies, all that I built up, that Calvary destroyed, how am I going to preserve it? How can this deadly wound that was inflicted upon me, how can this be healed? So he took his philosophies. He took his religions. He took all of his devils that are called gods and inserted them into what was thought to be Christianity and became the Roman Catholic system. And if you look in there, you'll see it all. All the paganism of all the empires is there. But it was more than that. There would be a Reformation, a fracturing of Rome into many segments, each one carrying Satan's plan onward. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And people were induced to believe that they had to join a church, an official established church, to be saved. In fact, a good way to not be saved is join a church. By the way, those that we baptize here, we don't baptize them into this church. We baptize into Jesus Christ. We don't have a membership here. We have a church with no members. If people come, we rejoice. If they go, we don't bother them. Because I believe God calls people here. We're here because God brought us here. You're not here by your decision or whatever. The Lord brought you. That's what I believe. And if people walk out the door, I don't chase after them. Why? Because it's in God's hands. And see, sometimes people are here that shouldn't be. That happens sometimes. I've seen it over all the many, many years of my ministry and the ministry of many other men that were doing a good work for the Lord. I've seen it. And we just have to trust God and let Him lead and let Him be the one to make all the decisions. Because as soon as we get our hands in it, we mess things up, don't we? Mm-hmm. Amen. We do. So look at all of these empires as scrunched together into a new system, which then would evolve into a political system again through something called an Illuminati that most people will laugh at you for even speaking the word. But the truth of the matter is, on May the 1st, 1776, there was one Dr. Adam Weishaupt, born a Jew, the son of a rabbi, converted to Catholicism, was teaching canon law at Ingolstadt University, who was retained by the Rothschild bankers to set up and to facilitate a secret organization to hide within the guilds of Europe, the Masonic Lodge, the Grand Orient, in the higher levels of that lodge, the lower members not even knowing about it. There would be in existence a number of people, men of arts and letters, of great erudition, of great intelligence. They would be the ones to set up a one-world government in this age-old plot. And the truth is that those who are in offices today, high political offices, are direct descendants of those very men. And they're all related to each other. Cousins, second cousins, cousins once, twice removed. I wish they were removed. But you know, all these different people all involved in this thing. Folks, it is a fact, and a lot of people don't want to even consider it or look at it. Are you one of those conspiracy nuts? Well, last week I established a point with you that I am an idiot. And so are you. That was a word invented for and first applied to Christians as a group because they would not assimilate. It comes from a Greek word and from a Latin word. The word idiot means one who is to himself and will not join in with the general public. That's what the word idiot means etymologically. If you look in a good dictionary, the Oxford, for an example, it shows the evolution of words, how they change and so forth. The word idiot actually is a compliment. Somebody calls you an idiot because of your faith in Christ, say thank you. I won't join them. I won't let go of what I've got. If that makes me an idiot, let me be the head king of all the idiots, because I am not going to join this world system. Well, so we have this first beast now concealed and not revealed within a realm of what is considered to be Christianity, but then is expanding into all these different denominational branches, as it were. And later on, because of Illuministic effort, because they had planned to foment wars and revolutions, including our American Revolution. And of course, all these battles that were fought from then on were really and wars brought forth by their plan and by their design. They still do that. You think that war in Iraq is some kind of an accident? Hey, they had that thing on the drawing board for years. And now we see what it has done. the demolition of our country, of its economy, of its all of its institutions of learning, now indoctrination, and every endeavor of man, they have infiltrated this thing and corrupted it, and that should not surprise us. Look around out there. Do you see anything that isn't corrupted? Is there such a thing as military intelligence, or is that an oxymoron? Honest government? See, these things don't fit together, do they? Water and oil don't mix. But you know what has happened is, eventually, a new country came forth. It was at first called, it wasn't called the United States, it was called the Noble Experiment. Our country was an experiment. Is it possible for a piece of paper to rule? The Constitution. Over in Europe, they talk. Otto von Bismarck talked about it as the Noble Experiment. He was an Illuminist, by the way. Blut und Eisen, blood and iron. Remember Otto von Bismarck? Now think back to when you had history in school. I know that those days probably seem like history to you now. But think back at all these things. All these isms and ideologies and spheres of political power. They were manufactured. They didn't pop up from nowhere. They put them together. They assembled these things. There was a plan, and the devil was behind it all. Pan-Germanism. The superiority of the master race, the Meistermensch. Right? Or the Greater East Asia co-prosperity sphere. China, Japan, all of the Far Eastern countries. Of course, now they have risen up, haven't they? To meet their judgment. But what about this country over here, this noble experiment where a piece of paper would rule? See, Abe Lincoln referred to that in his Gettysburg Address as a noble experiment, didn't he? Remember that? You had to memorize that, didn't you? 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. You've heard of that, haven't you? We had to memorize that. I guess I had some teachers that were kind of sticklers, you know. Nowadays, teachers don't teach anymore. They put in their time. I ran into a man in Columbus on the 4th of July. I went to watch the Shriners go by in their camels and little cars and things, you know. You know what's really fun when you do that? You get a parade going, you holler out, "Mahabone!" And they nearly break their neck. Who did that? You know? But anyway, I met a man there who's a biology teacher here in Beaver Dam. Very nice man. And I was sitting there talking to him. I like to strike up a conversation. I wasn't really watching the parade. I just looking for certain things in there to see what they're up to. But I got talking to this man, and these Shriners come by, and they're on camels. Big camels. Here's this biology teacher telling his son, "Look at the horses." And I said, "Sir, those aren't horses. Those are camels. Big humps on them, you know." And the Shriner's leading them down the road, the Zohar Shrine, you know. And this man said, oh. He said, "I thought those were big horses." And I didn't want to insult him, but I thought to myself, "You mean you teach biology in high school? And you can't tell a horse from a camel? I mean, what in the world is..." You know, they don't teach anymore. They're there, and then he wanted to talk about how he's a coach, and he wanted to talk about sports. That's why he's at school, so he can be a coach. He doesn't care about teaching, and he really doesn't know his subject. I feel sorry for somebody, I don't know who. But it's amazing to me. But so you have all of this history that you can look back to and say, "I see the hand of God all the way through." And I see, where was the devil, by the way? Walking to and fro in the earth and up and down in it, working his plan. He did that back in the days of Job already. You think he's quit? Or is he still walking to and fro right alongside of Obama? They're both walking to and fro in the earth and up and down in it. All over Europe, all over everything. What a wonderful man. Oh, what a great guy. He's going to solve all of our problems. We're all going to be healthy and wealthy and wise. We're all going to be taken care of, cradle to the grave. He's got all the answers. And on his resume, he has nothing. Nothing. He came from nowhere. It's going to be something to watch this thing play out. But you know, you look at the United States, which came forth, this noble experiment. Because Abraham Lincoln went on and referred to that experiment when he said, "We now stand on a great battlefield of this war, testing whether this nation, or any nation so conceived, can long endure. Can it last?" The answer is, no, it can't. And it didn't. Because even though they haven't told you yet, you've already lost your country. The nation I was born in no longer exists. It's a different world, it's a different country, and frankly, I don't feel like I belong here anymore, except that the Lord has a work for me to do and He has a work for you to do. But it's not what it was. And incidentally, God told us it would be that way. We read about that beast that rose up that was, remember last week, a little bit of lion and a little bit of bear and a little bit of leopard, these different types of animals all packed together, all sewn together as it were. Where did the Illuminati come from? Ingolstadt in Bavaria, in a cave under the ground with five men in it, sitting in the form of a pentacle and calling on what Adam Weishaupt instructed them to call on as the controlling unknown, where Satan appeared and got the ball a-rolling. Ingolstadt, which just happens to be the area where the story of Frankenstein came from. Remember the German scientist, the mad scientist, Dr. Frankenstein? And he went out and he gathered all these body parts and sewed them together, put spark plugs in the neck, and waited for a thunderstorm. And all of a sudden the storm started rolling, boom, and bang, down it came, and it didn't work the first time. So he sent Igor out to get a brain, right? And you remember this, don't you? And then he put the brain in and he rehooked the thing up and the electrodes, and thunderstorm came and boom, and a guy came alive. He couldn't talk. He could walk around kind of like this. And, remember that? Go strangle him, and the guy would go, you know, and strangle him. And the scientist would send people he didn't like, he'd send Frankenstein's monster, send him out and strangle him or do something to him, get rid of him. But in the end of the story, the monster turned on its own creator and destroyed Dr. Frankenstein. Boris Karloff. Remember he played the part of the monster? Am I that old? Anybody remember this stuff? I don't know if they're showing reruns or anything, but this is where it all came from, and that is exactly what happened politically. See, movies that are produced are done for a reason. They condition people to accept certain things. They are filled with subliminals. They are putting thoughts in your mind that you didn't manufacture. Remember before Ronald Reagan decided he wanted to attack Libya, Muammar Gaddafi? About 6 months before he did that, by the way, he told Gaddafi it wasn't anything personal. Nothing personal. When you put a rocket through a guy's bedroom window, you can't get more personal than that. Which is what they did. They're accurate to within 24 inches. But anyway, about 6 months before we attacked Libya, a movie came out called Iron Eagles with Louis Gossett Jr. and how this man had to go in and rescue his father, who was held by this. They didn't name the country, but they showed the map, and it was Libya. That Libya would be attacked by the United States. 6 months later, Libya is attacked by the United States. I could name any number of movies for you that came out. Shortly thereafter, some world event took place with a play on words that would directly connect it together. Hollywood is in this thing. It's so tied together. Satan has worked a long time to build up this kingdom. And it's all going to fall when Jesus comes. Isn't that great? Amen. But what about our United States? Remember, this beast is a composite. A little of this and a little of that. What do you have in this country? Even the English language is made up of many languages. English is not pure German. or pure Russian or Greek or Latin or any of these, but the English language contains portions of all of them. Spanish, whatever, nowadays Spanish is really catching on. They asked Barack Obama, what do you think of illegal immigration? He said, all I can say is make sure your children can speak Spanish. He had nothing else to say about it. In other words, we are being taken over, and it's just going to be that way. They are still uniting Canada and Mexico with the United States. Right now, the United States is a country that is a melting pot. It's a little of this and a little of that. And religiously, spiritually, it has the religion of Babylon in it. It has the religion of Medo-Persia in it. It has the religion of the Greeks in it. And it has the religion of Rome in it. And you go to talk to a lawyer and or liar or whatever you want to call him. You go and talk to one of these guys, and they pull all this Latin on you. They gotta go down to the Capitol building, go to the Supreme Court. They got the words lex, or the word lex in there, L-E-X, meaning law. When they're just write law. No, it's got to be lex. Right? Got to be Latin. How come? By the way, if you take the Latin Roman numerals and add them up, they equal 666. Minus the M, because that didn't originally exist in those. But you have, in government, Latin is the language of government. And all the ceremony of the Supreme Court and all these things, it's all Latin. Go to a university, the language of academia is Greek. All the sororities, fraternities are Greek. And then you have a little Latin mixed in with that too, but primarily the language of the intelligentsia is Greek. And the Greeks taught, the philosophers taught, that you had Ein Sof in you, this God self on the inside of you, and you could develop that, and when you develop that to its fullest capacity, the sign that you were a fully developed, intelligent, godlike man is you became a homosexual. Yeah. It's coming back to that again. They're controlling almost all of the industry, all of the large corporations. They've worked their way into the top. Satan's business, isn't it? The fact is, in our country, we have a language that is a composite of many others. We have a people that's a composite of many others. Everything that we have is a Frankenstein's monster. It is a composite. This country is a little of this, and a little of that, and a little of that, and a little of this. It is that cauldron of Jeremiah and Ezekiel whose scum remaineth in it. Is this too hard? Is this unbearable for anybody? If it is, tough. We're going to do it anyway. Now, if you look at this first beast, it obviously came forth and manifested its power. But something happens after that. Now, notice that the 10th... Well, let's look at verse 9 of Revelation 13. If any man have an ear, let him hear. What is that telling me? Not everybody's got an ear to hear. Well, they might have those flaps of flesh out there on the side of their head, but they can't hear. They can pick up sound, but they don't understand. They just don't get it. Do you ever talk to anybody who just didn't get it? Anybody? Okay. I was waiting for somebody to say all the time. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. What does that mean? Those who are the persecutors, they're going to get theirs in due time. We have patience because we know there is one who's going to take care of this whole thing. See, one of the problems with people of the United States is they don't know what to think anymore because they can't think anymore and nothing makes sense. Have you ever looked at things out there and tried to make sense out of it? Have you ever tried to bring logic into the happenings? The operation of the government. And I was telling a different time, some of you may not have heard this, but when Nixon became president, he wanted a flowchart of the government. And he got all these advisors together, and they looked at the whole thing, and months later came back and said, we still don't have it ready. And then he came back a few months later, he called for him, he says, where's my flowchart? You know, like a corporate chart? They said, we still don't have it ready. He called them back a third time, they said, we can't do it, because we don't know how it runs. Nobody knows. There's interlocking offices, interlocking directorates, decisions made here that affect things over here, and we can't do a chart. It's impossible. Wow. It just runs by itself? I remember back when I was a kid, I had a very good friend who was a farmer, farm boy. And we were out riding our bicycles one time, and on the edge of town there's a Dairy Queen out there. We had to stop there, of course, you know. And then right next to it, they put up a brand new building. It's in Clintonville. Brand new building back in the 60s. And had a big sign out in front, Land Bank. Land Bank. I said to this farm boy, I said, what's a land bank? He said, oh, that's great. He said, my dad really likes that because they pay him money to not farm. That if he'll let his land lay idle and not put anything on it, not plant anything, just let it sit there, they'll give him a check for not using it. So we don't have to do anything, get money for it. Wow! Only in America, right? Well, you can create food shortages. Oh, I ran into something last night. It's only take a minute. I think this is just awesome. This illustrates the whole problem. This is a satirical letter that was written to the Honorable Secretary of Agriculture in Washington, D.C. And this is what the man says. He says, I have been evacuated from New Orleans because the flood took my old trailer and beat up car. I thought I might go into business to supplement my welfare check. My friend over at Wells, Iowa, received a check for $1,000 from the government for not raising hogs. Right now, I'm getting extra help from the government and Red Cross while I'm displaced, but when that stops, I want to go into the not raising hogs business. What I want to know is, in your opinion, what is the best kind of farm not to raise hogs on? And what is the best breed of hogs not to raise? I want to be sure that I approach this endeavor in keeping with all governmental policies. I would prefer not to raise razorbacks, but if that is not a good breed not to raise, then I will just as gladly not raise Yorkshires or Duroks. As I see it, the hardest part of this program will be in keeping an accurate inventory of how many hogs I haven't raised. My friend Peterson is very joyful about the future of the business. He has been raising hogs for 20 years or so, and the best he ever made on them was $422 in 1968, until this year when he got your check for $1,000 for not raising hogs. If I get $1,000 for not raising 50 hogs, will I get $2,000 for not raising 100 hogs? I plan to operate on a small scale at first, holding myself down to about 4,000 hogs not raised, which will mean about $80,000 the first year. Then I can afford an airplane. Now, another thing. These hogs I will not raise will not eat 100,000 bushels of corn. I understand that you also pay farmers for not raising corn and wheat. Will I qualify for payments for not raising wheat and corn, not to feed the 4,000 hogs I am not going to raise? Also, I'm considering the not milking cows business, so send me any information you have on that too. In view of these circumstances, you understand that I will be totally unemployed and plan to file for unemployment and food stamps. Be assured you will have my vote in the coming election. Patriotically yours, I'm a taker. Please notify me when you're giving out more free cheese. That illustrates the problem, and you know what? They do it. It sounds insane, but they do it. Vata country. But you see, the United States is under the influence of evil spirits and of a conspiratorial plan. Now this brings us to another beast that rises up. Where do we go from here? Verse 11 says, now bear in mind, here is John seeing this revelation of Jesus Christ. Visions are being put before him. And he's going to describe what he sees as best he can with the knowledge that he has. God allows him to do that, you know. That's why when you read Revelation, you read some of these things, you have to understand there is metaphor here. These are word pictures. And a picture is worth 1,000 words, isn't it? God uses the language of metaphor because it is so powerful. The Lord owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. What does that mean? All the hills. The word 1,000 means all, entire. Otherwise, who owns the rest of them? See? That the first covenant of God was to endure for 1,000 generations, that's 40,000 years, and yet Jesus came and brought forth a new covenant. 1,000 there means the entire time allotted until it was ended. You can't get mathematical with it. If you do, you have to have contextual reason for it. And that's something we have to watch with the book of Revelation. It is shown by signs. Doesn't it say at the very beginning that the book was signified to John, that this entire book would be shown by signs? Signs are metaphor, word picture. Pictures that form from words and words that form pictures. Now, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Now there's a new beast. Didn't come out of the sea this time. This time, out of the earth. Now would you like to see where he comes out of the earth in the Bible? Hold your page, back up a page or two. And let's look at something here. Go back to Revelation 11. Verse 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Where'd the beast come from? Out of the earth, out of the bottomless pit. That is that beast. The abyss that he rose from. All right, now, we're not finished with that thought yet. Do we know anything more about this second beast that came out of the earth, not out of the sea, but out of the pit? Yeah, if we back up a little bit again to Revelation 9. Don't worry, we'll finish this. Believe it or not. In Revelation 9, watch what happens here. Because we're talking about the second beast coming up now. Who is he? What is he? Remember, he has horns like a lamb, it's like a sheep, but a voice like a dragon. You might say a dragon in sheep's clothing. I can tell you right now, it is a religious beast and political. And it ties all the politics in, all the Mother Earth concept, all the green talk, all the Islam. It's all there. Watch what the Bible helps us a lot here. In Revelation 9:1, it says, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now, what is that star? It obviously is a being. It's not a big burning star like you'd see up like astronomers look at. This is a creature that is cast down from the sky, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now, bottomless pit here means the shaft of the abyss. Directly from the Greek language, really the same thing. Bottomless pit is a shaft. A shaft really doesn't end till it hits a pit. It's bottomless because it's a shaft. It's an expression. All right? And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. You know, God is showing us many replays of this. You'll notice in prophecy there are little things that happen that sound like the fulfillment, but there's still a bigger one to come, that it's snowballing forward, more and more is happening. Do you look over at pictures of China recently, Beijing? The smog is so bad, you can't see the sun, and that's in the middle of the day. See, their factories have been so busy cranking out all that junk with leaded paint and poison in the pet food and all this other, poisoning America with arsenic and with lead in the different objects, and little children suck on the toys, you know, and get dosed with lead and arsenic. And through all their efforts and all their manufacturing and their westernization, their pollution is so bad that people are having trouble breathing and they can't even see the sun in midday. And we're talking about every day. That needs to be on the news a little more, doesn't it? I've got pictures of it. Continual trouble. And do you know who is in charge of shipping all that junk to the United States? Do you know who it is that coordinates all the Walmart junk purchases and all the other big stores where all this Chinese, made in China stuff comes here? Do you know who's responsible for getting all of that to this country? The brother of one Barack Obama, who happens to live as a resident in Red China. He's in charge of all exports to the United States. So he is the junk and poison coordinator to destroy our people. Oh yes, he's got a brother. In fact, he's got two of them, which is three too many. Now, verse 2 says, "And he opened the bottomless pit, there arose a smoke." Then what comes out? "The sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power." Scorpions, of course, sting. But these are described as locusts. But watch, there's a paradox here. Is this getting too deep, or am I doing all right with this? I can't tell. You tell me. All right? This pit that the second beast comes out of is also locusts come out. "And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth." What do locusts do? They eat everything green. Not these locusts. These locusts are ecologically friendly. These locusts have a religion where you hug your mother. These locusts believe you don't, you know, everything, you've got to go green with everything. Green, green, green. Did you ever see these advanced Garmin navigator systems? You know, that so you never get lost? Did you ever see the advanced models? You drive along and there will be, it'll show roads and highways by name. It'll talk to you, do all this stuff so you never get lost. But then, every time you come to United Nations green space, it'll show a green area. Now, you'll be out in a country where it's green all over, and it won't show that, but you come to certain areas, and that's because that is designated as a UN green space. Even though you own it, you may not know it yet, you can't develop it, you can't do anything with it at all. Isn't that amazing? And I just happened to know, because I saw it with my own eyes, that our backyard is designated as a UN green space. Because there's a little stream flowing back there. It's all basically all open. There's over an acre back, acre and a half, and it shows on the Garmin unit as a green space. Now, we wouldn't be able to do anything with that back there. Right behind the church, yeah, we can put in a parking lot. And I had all kinds of grief with the city. We had a wrestling match with that and finally got it through. But now I know why. If you own land somewhere, you may be in for a surprise. Because you maybe don't own it. The United Nations. All right? And they're proud of their acquisitions. And just wait till they get going here. Notice now, "You're not to hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing." Do we hear that talk all the time? Green, 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 green. No green thing. "Neither any tree But only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Now, aren't you glad to have the seal of God in your forehead? What is the seal? The Holy Spirit of promise. That's the seal. They have no power over you whatsoever at all. When you're sealed by God. And to them it was given, meaning these locusts. Now, I don't think these are real grasshoppers. Watch what happens. And you can agree with me or disagree, and I'll still love you, but I'm going to tell you what I believe this is. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. What is 5 months? Did you know that the average stay of locusts when they invade an area is 5 months? But what this is telling us here is they're going to come and they're going to go. They're not going to succeed. They'll be there for a while, cause so much misery, but they are not the last word. All right? And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. A sting, a jab, a poke. All right? And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Another metaphor saying, they're just basically looking at the world and saying, get me out of here. This is, you know, everything is so bad, just get me out of here. All right? And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. Now what I'm going to read to you is a precise description of an Islamic army. All right? Look in your history books. The Lord helps us in His Word here. Watch this. The shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. So now you got grasshoppers looking like horses? No, it's metaphor. And on their heads were as it were crowns of gold. Invading Islamic armies always wore yellow turbans. The Battle of Tours, the war with John Sobieski, Charles Martel. Check it in your history books. They always had turbans of gold, as it were. They weren't really gold. They were yellow, bright yellow. That was Saladin's. Saladin was their leader, and that was the they dressed according as he did. Could you imagine there what Saladin looked like with that yellow? And they always wore the little capes behind them. And they had the swords, the scimitars. And so that was Saladin dressing. But anyway, the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, not gold, but like gold, yellow. And their faces were as the faces of men. They had beards. That's why it distinguishes it. Men had beards. That's why I could say it was a man. And they had hair as the hair of women. Do you ever see the long hair of these traditionalist Muslims? Well, usually they cover it with that little headpiece that they put on. But how about these Muslim Islamic football players? Do you ever see their dreadlocks hanging out the helmet? Oh, they go for that. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they need dental work. It just means they are ferocious. Intimidating, threatening, bloodthirsty, a religion of blood, a religion that beheads people, chops off their hands for stealing, so forth. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. Again, the Saracens wore those breastplates. And the sound of their wings, they all had capes that would flutter in the wind, was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions. Every one of them had that curved sword, that scimitar. And as you look at the pictures, the historical pictures, the drawings, you'll see that sticking out the back of their cape, that stinging scimitar. By the way, what are the symbols of the Scottish Rite? A star, right? Like the star falling from heaven. The crescent moon. The scimitar, the sword. It's all there, isn't it? Their passwords, Mecca, Nemesis, it's all Islamic. And all this talk about green and preserve the green, all this stuff. You see how it all comes together? Is there a force of Islam rising up and imposing its laws, its Sharia laws and all the things it's doing on the nations that it has taken over? How many of our great skyscrapers and landmarks and bridges and tollways have already been bought by Islamic interests? Now even the Chrysler building, the Flatiron skyscraper in New York, and the GM building, all being bought by these interests. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. So nothing's going to stop them until their mission is accomplished, and then it will be over. They will come to an end. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, and in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. And of course, those are both names that mean destroyer. And then it tells us that one woe is past. So, if you go back to Revelation 13, we're going to tie this all together. You've got this beast, second beast, and what is he doing? He refers back to the first beast, his power, his allegiance, and all this. Everything goes back to the original foundation of religious spirits, going all the way back to the Middle East, the Mediterranean Sea. He refers back to that, to his original roots. Okay? Now, he's got the voice of a dragon, but he looks like a lamb with two horns. And it says in verse 13, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Do you think that could be done? Did you know that up in Alaska right now they have a massive network called HARP? And they can literally call lightning and fire and so forth down and can send vectors of scalar waves out. They have all kinds of capabilities of shaking the earth and causing images to come down from the sky and this whole thing. If you go over to New York City, up on Amsterdam Avenue, there's a building called the Church of or Cathedral, the St. John the Divine. Up on the top spire, there is a projector that will project holographic images in the sky, three-dimensional, where it looks like something's coming down out of the sky. And the scaffolding still sits there, because they're not finished with it yet. If you don't believe it, I encourage you to go over there, if you dare, and make your way up to Amsterdam Avenue, Morningside Heights. I've been there three times, I think, three or four at least. It's there. It is there. Could they project an image that they say, there he is, it's Jesus coming? And all the Baptists would get their pogo sticks out and try to meet him in the air. Huh? And it's not Jesus coming, it's something else. Strong delusion that they believe a lie. Islamic armies rising up subtly. But with all the vengeance and hatred that you find in that religion. Mixing it all together with Catholicism. With all the branches of Catholicism. All the daughters of the harlot. All religions united. The Dalai Lama. McCain met the Dalai Lama over here. Oh, what a meeting that must have been. Then what? And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. These are the days of high technology, folks. You'd be amazed what they could do. And they haven't told you the things they've got. Saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Going to make an image. By the way, there's this former astronaut that's trying to make all kinds of noise now about how he knows the government is covering up the fact that there are space beings, extraterrestrials. So they're laughing at him and all this stuff. And I'll tell you what, there are demons and manifestations of demons and all kinds of things going on that you wouldn't even guess are going on. Yes, there are beings like that, and they can't shut this guy up. The government issued an official statement to this well-respected astronaut, and they said about him, he's a wonderful man, we just disagree with him. That's strange, too, because usually they'll say, we cannot confirm or deny. That's their usual rhetoric. But they're saying, no, we just don't agree with him. And he's frantically trying to get word out. Hey, they're covering this thing up. And people aren't listening to him. All right? It's really something when you got a message to get out and people don't listen. But there always will be a few. So in verse 15 it says, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak. You mean something that is manufactured, something made by man that can speak? Hey, computers do it. And there's something else about computers. They don't have a heart. And if you don't comply, you die. Because you don't fit the program. Computer has no problem, no emotions, no problem sentencing somebody to death for not complying. And cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Notice the image is unto the first beast, devil driven, the ancient religions all rolled into one with Islam and all the others. No wonder they're saying, who can make war with him? Who is like unto him? Nobody could fight against him except God. And that great battle takes place at Armageddon. And they'll find out there is one who can fight against him and make war with him. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. See, there are slaves, aren't there? Free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And my Greek friend from Montreal told me that in Canada, native Greek, he said that word there is karagma. Now, he'll be hearing this tape. And so, I need to say it right. It's not karagma, it's karagma. It means to cut into and dig down into, like you're plowing a furrow in a field. Okay, to receive a mark in your right hand or forehead, meaning to dig down, to penetrate, to go into some device that would interact. Boy, I'm telling you, they're going to run into trouble with that one because these things don't work right. You get too much electronics, things are going to start backfiring. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Talk about buying and selling and banking. A week ago, they said there were 90 banks on the list for failure. The FDIC said there were 90. 2 days ago, they said there are 300. They're falling like dominoes. And right now in Las Vegas, they're going under. The casinos are going under. Praise the Lord! Oh, these poor people. No, no, no. They need to go under. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 600, 66. And you see that 666 everywhere. Remember the barcodes? They all have a 666 on them, don't they? Evenly spaced. And now you take all the digits of those barcodes. They all have 13 numbers in a full barcode. And you take the odds and add them up and the evens times 3 and run that together and you come up with a number that's always divisible by 10, which is the exact number of the horns on the beast. It's all happening now. Undeniable. But people don't get it, folks. The beast, the Antichrist, is rising. Islam is rising. False Christianity is rising. They're all uniting and meeting together on the principle of a green world and a new age with a new Aquarian Christ, which they call the Avatar. And it's happening now before our very eyes. And you may not like it. People may get upset about it because they want their world to go on. But God said it will end. And somebody's got to be at the end of the timeline. And folks, it just happens to be you and I. It's a tough message. I don't know what will happen from here. But I do know the one who's in charge. And there's a lot more we have to learn. And we'll learn it as time goes on. Because, remember, all the truth that you know was revealed a little at a time. God won't give it to you all at once. We get it a little at a time, and a little at a time, more and more, but it's coming faster now. Because it has to. And with that thought in mind, why don't we pray and ask God to help us. Father in heaven, we know the enemy has risen up. We know, O Lord, that there are treacherous and hostile times that are coming upon the earth, and the signs and the evidence is everywhere. But Lord, we are encouraged because Thou art with us. Thou hast created all things, and Thou hast a people that Thou hast preserved unto Thyself. And O Lord, I pray that Thou wouldst seal everyone in the hearing of this message with Thy Holy Spirit of promise. Oh, that they would be called out and saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Lord Jesus, we look to Thee as the author and finisher of our faith. Time is so short. Everything's crumbling around us, but we stand firmly on Thy promises. And we rejoice because of the hope that's laid before us. Help us, Lord, to be busy doing the work to relay this message to others, that they might repent and come unto Thee and be saved. Now, Lord Jesus, abide with us and keep us, O Lord, unto the very hour of Thy appearing. As the skies open and fill with the angels of heaven, and as Thou comest forth with the great trumpet sound, help us, Lord, to be found in Thee in that day. And we ask it in Jesus' name through the power of the blood, and let all that Satan is doing be continually rebuked of Thee. We have no fear, because Thou art with us. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.